Generosity is an important part of a Christian understanding of stewardship. God has been generous with us, and we're called to be generous with one another. But sometimes we let fear drive our actions. Fear makes us think that there's not enough to go around, which then leads us to live in ways that are the opposite of generosity. It leads us to hoard things and to hold tightly to what we possess. And we see an example of this with the disciples. One time at the end of a long day, Jesus wanted them to feed a hungry crowd. But these disciples made up excuses as to why they couldn't do this. They said there wasn't enough food to share. So let's take a moment to read that story and look at how Jesus responded. This story is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open to that passage. I'll be reading out of chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. So let's listen now to our scripture. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Amen. Now, I can't fault the disciples for the way they responded to Jesus. It had been a long and exhausting day. People from all over the countryside had come to Jesus with their aches and pains. They needed help. But rather than take a break from this work, Jesus stayed there with the crowd and healed them one at a time. And meanwhile, the 12 disciples wanted to get out of there because it was getting late. And frankly, they were overwhelmed with all the need that they saw. All they could see was a long line of desperate people who would not go away. And now they were all getting hungry. So the disciples turned to Jesus and they essentially said, "Lord, there's not enough food to go around. Send these people away so they can get some food for dinner." Now, this is a story we can understand. You know, we look around at our world and we see great, great needs. It can be overwhelming, and we wonder what we can really do about it. What difference can we make? Our resources are so limited, and yet the needs are so great. A number of us have had the privilege and the ability to travel and visit interesting places here in the United States and around the world. As a church, we've sent mission teams to Europe, Asia, Africa, and South America. We've seen great contrast in the way people live. We've come face to face with people begging for food and money. We know that there are great needs in this world. On one trip that I was on, this was a vacation some years ago, a tour guide warned our group to watch out for kids who were begging for help because he said they're not as innocent as they look. He told us that they're pickpockets. He said that's the way they've learned to survive in this world. And that gave me a flashback to when I was a 19-year-old college student. I was studying abroad. And during the Christmas and Easter breaks, I backpacked around Europe. At the time, I was a rather naive traveler, and I certainly didn't think children would be so brazen as to pickpocket tourists. But that attitude changed when I was in Rome. When I was walking around the ancient ruins near the Colosseum, a small group of kids, most of whom were 9, 10, 11 years old, approached me with a newspaper. Now, I thought they were trying to sell me a paper, but while one kid held the paper at my waist, another shorter kid came under the paper, stuck his hand down my pocket, and tried to steal my wallet. Now, they didn't get anything from me, but I was pretty furious. And when my emotions finally settled down, I thought about that incident. And I wondered what would have happened if they succeeded in getting my wallet. There may have been, I don't know, $50 or $60 cash in it. Certainly not enough to last very long. And even if there had been a lot of cash in my wallet, it would have only helped for a little while, and I certainly don't think it would have changed their situation. You know, there's great needs and great poverty in the world. We encounter that right here in Raleigh with people begging for help. They ask for some spare change. But we know their needs are so great that a few dollars doesn't seem like it's going to make much of a dent. They need a lot more help than what we can give. There just seem to be so few resources to help with those kinds of needs. There seem to be so few resources to help with the tremendous needs that we see in the world. And sometimes, I think we feel that way about our own situations. We think we can't properly tackle our own problems because our resources are so limited. I think this sort of thinking can even creep its way into church life. Now, every fall, our church leaders sharpen their pencils and work on a budget. And through our budget, we try to glorify God by providing a whole host of programs and mission work. But sometimes we feel constricted by the giving trends from the previous year. And if giving was flat, or if it was down, we begin thinking about trimming the budget because we think we might not have enough money to do the things God calls us to do. We feel like we have so little in comparison to all the needs we see. We'd like to do more, but we don't think we have the resources. In some respects, I think we're like the disciples. They face hungry crowd, a multitude of people. And the only food they had on hand was a couple fish and five loaves of bread. It really looked like there weren't enough resources to deal with the need. So no one was surprised to hear those disciples say, "Lord, send those people away." But according to the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus didn't want to let his friends off the hook. When they were trying to get rid of the crowd, Jesus told them to give the people something to eat. He said, this is in verse 16, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." Now let's take a moment to dwell on what Jesus said. "You give them something to eat." Jesus demanded that his followers pitch in and give what they have. Now, in the Gospel of John, we're told that it's a young boy who offered up his lunch. But in Matthew, he tells the story in a different way. Matthew seems to be saying that the disciples are the ones who must give from their own bread and fish. And they responded by saying, "We have nothing here but five loaves and two fish." And yet, you saw what they did. They gave their quote, nothing to Jesus, which he took. Then he thanked God for it. Then he broke the bread. Then he gave it back to the disciples so that it could be given away. And then finally, after the crowds had eaten their fill, the disciples took up the leftovers. And did you notice how many baskets of bread were left over? 12 baskets, one for each of the disciples. And isn't that something? You know, these disciples had given everything they had to Jesus. He blessed it, broke it, and gave it back so that it could be given away. And those disciples who gave everything that they had to the Lord received everything they needed in return. But here's a question for you. Does God still work that way? I certainly believe so. I like to think that we can give God everything that we have and we will get everything we need in return. And yet, somewhere along the way, it seems like this breaks down for us. And I think the reason for that is that fear creeps in. Our hearts may be convinced of the great needs that we see in our church or in the world, but then our open hands become clenched, our purses close, our wallets snap shut, and we lose the joy of giving. Kind of reminds me of the preacher who was leading worship one Sunday. And when it was time to collect the offering, the pastor said, "I want everyone to stand up for a minute," and everybody stood. And then the reverend said, "I want all of you to lean forward, grab the wallet or the purse of the person sitting right in front of you, and give like you always wanted to give but never had the chance." Now, wouldn't that be fun? And giving should be fun. And it is, because being generous gives us life. And it helps us live a little more like God. Now, the opposite of this kind of generosity is fear. We look at the little that we have and we think of reasons why we can't help. We don't think we have enough to meet the needs that we see. And that weighs on us. We start to worry, and our joy for life is diminished. It's kind of like that family that has a couple kids. They live in a nice house full of nice things. Both parents have pretty good jobs. They make decent money. And yet that family always feels anxious. They feel like they never have enough, which drives the parents to work even harder, hoping for promotions that never seem to materialize. And over time, their home becomes haunted with the phrase, "We need more money." Now, no one ever speaks those words out loud, but the sentiment fills the house. Each person in that family can look in the eyes of the other and see it. We don't have enough money. We need more money. Even at night, when they crawl into bed, they're thinking about all those things that they didn't get. They keep thinking, "We need more money. We need more money to buy this and do that." That family is burdened with a mindset of scarcity. Now, does something similar ever happen to you? Do you ever feel like you don't have enough? Do you ever catch yourself thinking that you need more money? Are you ever afraid that you won't have enough to cover all your needs? Having this kind of mindset of scarcity can trouble any of us, and it can certainly make us think that we don't have the resources to take care of the needs that we see. And that's what happened to the disciples. But Jesus intervened by saying, you give them something to eat. And he says a similar thing to us. He tells us that we need to pitch in and help take care of the need. Now, I think that's something we really don't want to hear. When we're asked to give, we usually look down. We don't want to make eye contact. And our first response is, we don't have what it takes, or we don't have the ability, or we don't have the money. In other words, we don't think we have enough. Now, it strikes me that Jesus takes whatever we think is not enough, and he makes more than enough. And in the case of our scripture, the disciples gave him 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Jesus gave thanks to God for that gift. Then he broke it. And then he said, give it away. Now, the disciples could no longer hoard the little bit of food that they had. Instead, Jesus took it and broke it apart so that everyone would have something to eat. I think we often worry that there isn't going to be enough food or money or whatever to go around. And so we start stockpiling things. We hoard what we have. We hold it tightly. And why do we do this? Because we are afraid there isn't going to be enough, which is why we need God to give us new eyes to see our circumstances in relation to the needs in the world. We need God to give us new hearts so that we might trust God to take care, take our offerings, and then do something amazing with them. We need God to take our prized possessions and break them into something new so that the hungry will be fed and the good news will be proclaimed. And I'm learning that stewardship really is a matter of conversion. In our culture, we often live with this myth of scarcity. We buy into the idea that we don't have enough, even though the world is filled with signs of God's abundant generosity. And so, yes, we need to be converted. We need to be converted so that we might become more generous like God. And this is especially true for those of us who have so much and yet are convinced that we don't have enough. In God's economy, there is enough for everyone. There's an abundance in this world. Of course, some people have taken more than they should have taken. And there's some people who don't have enough. But when we give ourselves to God, when we trust that God really cares for our well-being, then the way we handle our stuff changes. And amazing things happen. Miracles happen when we give our not enough to God, who turns it into more than enough. Would you pray with me?